Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Hi there, this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio mobile app. We're going to continue today with our theme of stewardship. Really reflecting on some thoughts from Cardinal Collins, the Archbishop of Toronto, his pastoral letter on stewardship. It's really been kind of the touchstone for his ministry, and I think it's a great template for the Catholic life in general. And we all want to be good stewards. We want to be respectful and responsible stewards of the gifts that God has given to us, because we know we're going to have to give an account at the end of days. And throughout our liturgy, throughout the Mass, there are countless prayers that speak about this future hope, the coming of the Lord. We always pray, we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And no matter when he returns to earth, the parousia, as it says in Greek, which really was a Greek term which referred to the visiting emperor. Oftentimes, the Roman emperor would come to visit a city, whether it be Philippi, or whether it be Corinth, somewhere in the empire to check in on things. And all the inhabitants would go out to greet him and welcome him. Well, that's what it's going to be like when the Lord returns to take possession of his creation. And Jesus will return at the end of time, but we do know that the moment of our death, we always have to remember the moment of our death, memento mori, remember your death. We know that when that happens, that is the end of the world for you and me. And so that could happen. Here's the thing, that could happen at any time. We've got to be ready for that. And so Cardinal Collins reminds us that we can really only be ready for that moment. We can really only be prepared when we are using our time, our talent, and our treasure, the three T's, T to the third power. That's what has been entrusted to us. And that's going to allow us to look forward to that moment, to wait with joyful hope for the coming of our Lord. And there are all kinds of parables, of course, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, about this, about stewardship, about Jesus' return. And the most famous one, for sure, is found in Matthew chapter 25. And you can also see a version of this in Luke chapter 19. We touched on this a little bit last time, but I want to read this and get into this in a little bit more depth. And this is the parable of the talents. And this is what it says here in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 14, Jesus speaking here. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, those are grim words at the end of that parable of the talents. And of course, we know that that amount of money that Jesus mentions, the talent, has become a bit of a metaphor for us, a word that we use to describe any kind of gift that we have, any skill. And God entrusts us with these things to develop them. Just as he entrusts with us time, there's a finite amount of time, we don't know how much. Every day it's like we're withdrawing money from the bank of time. You know, a coin here, a coin there, and we don't know when it's going to run out because we can't see into that vault. And so we've really got to invest what we have wisely. So to be that good and faithful steward, to be that good and faithful servant, we've got to make good use of our time, talents, and treasure. And Cardinal Collins says that stewardship really means creativity, boldness. Just like that character in the parable that Jesus told, who creatively went and invested and traded with those talents. He acted. And so that's what we have to do as well. We need to fulfill the potential that we have. Again, those sad words we sometimes hear at funerals, that person had a lot of potential. We don't want that to be said of us. We don't want that to be our epitaph. So we've got to be fruitful, and we've got to creatively invest that which has been entrusted to us, time, talent, and treasure. These are really goods for others, for God, and for other people. And yes, we do have to take care of ourselves as well. Like when you're on a plane, those oxygen masks drop down. You've got to put your own on first before you pass out. You can't help somebody else put on their mask if you're incapacitated. And so we have to make sure that we are engaging in proper self-care. Certainly from a spiritual point of view, we need to make sure that we're praying. We need to make sure that we're in contact with what God has to say to us, especially through sacred scripture. And that's one of the reasons why we talk about scripture so much on the Faith Explained program. We've got to be really looking after our health as well, the bodies that God has given to us. That's part of the deal of being a good steward. We need to be there for the people who need us the most. But really, as Cardinal Collins points out in his letter, these gifts are primarily to glorify God and also to help other people as well. It's no coincidence that right after the parable of the talents comes another parable in Matthew's gospel in Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations, also known as the parable of the sheep and the goats. And that's where everyone is divided, the sheep, the goats, the good, the bad, and the ugly. How? On the basis of what they did in this life, how they acted, especially towards other people. It's that five-point gospel that Mother Teresa was so fond of, and that really comes from this passage. Whatever you did to the least of them, you did it to me. Those five words, you did it to me, are really, really important for us to remember that it's for God and others, loving God and loving other people. There's another part of the gospel as well, where Jesus encounters someone who is quite wealthy. He's known very often as the rich young ruler. And that's kind of conflating what various gospels say about this character. But in Mark's gospel, all it says is that he's a rich man. And here's what it says in Mark chapter 10. It says, as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him, before Jesus, that is, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, we often stop there, and very often gospel readings of this passage kind of leave it there. But it's really important to note what Jesus says next to his disciples. In verse 23 of Mark chapter 10, it says, "Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard will it be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were amazed at his words." Now, why were they so amazed? Well, at that time, I guess you could say that many people in the first century really bought into what we call today the health and wealth gospel. And various televangelists in the 20th century and early 21st century still preach a version of this message that if your life is really pleasing to God, you will be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, that's not always the case. And Jesus made sure that his disciples knew this. And so this is one of those times. Jesus says, hey, it'll actually be difficult for those who have riches, for those who have means to enter the kingdom of God. Whoa, 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 hold on here, teacher. I thought this was God's blessing here. And it is. But again, this is stewardship. It's something that has been entrusted. It doesn't really belong to the person who has that gift at the moment. They're just a steward. And this is why Jesus says to them again, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Well, then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first." That's from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. And by the way, just so you know, Jesus really was speaking of an actual camel going through the actual eye of a sewing needle. Sometimes you hear fanciful tall tales from preachers talking about the needle gate, quote unquote, in Jerusalem. That was a very small gate, and a camel could enter through it only if it knelt down and crawled along the ground. In other words, one has to humble oneself before God. Well, that might be great preaching, but there's no such thing as the needle gate, okay, in Jesus' time. It didn't exist. There was no such thing. He's actually talking about a real camel and a real sewing needle. How do we know that? Well, in Luke's version of this parable, in Luke, of course, being Dr. Luke, the great physician, he's actually using the word, the Greek word, for a surgical sewing needle. And Jesus certainly wants to heal us and stitch us up and forgive us of our sins, give us a heart transplant, a new heart, take out the heart of stone, give us that heart for God and for his kingdom, sew it back up again. And so this story about the rich young ruler, as he's known, who comes to Jesus, is crucial for understanding, again, this topic of stewardship. What does Jesus tell this guy? Follow the commandments. And the guy says, yeah, I've been doing that since I was young. Okay, that's good. That's a good thing. But then he says, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus doesn't ask everybody to do this, but he did ask this guy to do it. For most of us, he wants to leave us exactly as we are, in the same situation, in the same job, on the same street, in the same house, certainly doesn't, if you're married, he certainly doesn't want you to leave your spouse and find somebody else or go off to the monastery. It does some call some people to leave this world and change locations. But for most of us, God wants to leave us exactly where we are and just change our perspective and just change our why. Why are we doing this? Who are we living for? Now, in the case of this particular guy, he did ask him to give up everything and leave it behind. Why is that? Well, because, as Cardinal Collins said in his letter, this man was possessed by his possessions. What he owned really owned him. That can happen to all of us. That can happen to each and every one of us. We can have these little attachments, and sometimes very big attachments, that can weigh us down and really cause us to sink in the spiritual life. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Thanks for joining me today on the program. And as we're looking at this question of stewardship, of time, talent, and treasure, it's a great way to frame our Catholic life. We also have to take note, speaking of Dr. Luke, of something that Luke said in Luke chapter 12. Now, this is, of course, the famous parable that Jesus told about the rich fool. Continuing with this theme of being possessed by one's possessions. One of the multitude said to Jesus, and this is Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 13, one of the multitude said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Wow. So this man says, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God says to him, "You're a fool. This night your soul is required of you. For you, the end of the world is going to be tonight. And everything that you've worked on, everything that you prepared, all the stuff that's going to go into your barns, your storage facility, who is it going to belong to?" And Jesus says, that's what it's like for somebody who lays up treasure for himself or herself and is not rich towards God. And Cardinal Collins says this, quote, "For us, as for the rich fool in the parable, the thought of death is spiritually fruitful, as it forces each of us to consider our priorities. What is the point of all the energy I spend on gathering treasure or spending my time and talent on things that are ultimately useless? It is wisely said that at the moment of death, no one wishes to have spent more time at the office. We need to think of the moment of death, but not wait until then to realize what is important in life and how we can each be wise stewards of what we have received for this earthly journey." And that's that quote right there, that's a great reflection by Cardinal Collins on this parable of the rich fool. And one's also reminded of the book of Ecclesiastes when the wise preacher says, you know, from an earthly perspective, life under the sun, none of this makes any sense. You toil and work hard your whole life, and then you die, and somebody else gets everything that you've worked for. That is meaningless. meaningless, says the teacher. This is all over the book of Ecclesiastes. But really, the writer of that book says, okay, under the sun, this can seem meaningless, but when we look beyond the sun, to the heavens, to the abode of God, to the origin of all things, that's where it actually does make sense. We can imbue everyday ordinary life with supernatural meaning and really lay up goods for ourselves in heaven. Whereas Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, thieves can't break in and steal, moth and rust cannot destroy. That's where we really need to be laying up this treasure. Another great example of misguided priorities in life is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We know that story full well. Only at the very end did the rich man realize, I have not been spending my time, my energies, my talents, my resources wisely. It was too late. Now, somebody who did get it was Zacchaeus, the little guy who had to climb a tree to see Jesus. And boy, did he ever repent? Did he ever change his life? You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Let's look at the story of Zacchaeus. Let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. And Luke is the gospel writer that shares this wonderful anecdote about the time that Jesus went into Jericho and encountered this tax collector. Now, here's what it says in Luke chapter 19. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, and of course, they means everybody else in the town who knew Zacchaeus, he had a terrible reputation. Of course, any one of the Jews who worked for the hated Romans who occupied the Holy Land, anybody who went over and worked for them as a tax collector was seen as a traitor to his own people. Not to mention the fact that Zacchaeus wasn't exactly on the up and up, and it didn't exactly balance the books correctly, as we'll see in just a moment. Luke writes, when they saw it, they all rumored, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Yep, that was an accusation that was often leveled at Jesus, that he was the friend of sinners. You know what? I can live with that. If the worst thing anybody can say about me is that I'm a friend of sinners, that's okay. We're in pretty good company, because that's what they said about Jesus as well. So if you run with a rough crowd, don't worry, you're in good company. It says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is a powerful story, because Zacchaeus may have been small in stature, but that's the day that he really became a spiritual giant. Because not only did he repent, not only did he pay back what he had stolen from people, he said, look, I'm going to actually pay back four times the amount that I took from anybody, and I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. He proved his repentance with deeds. And kind of that was his penance. You know, very often we're given penance when we go to confession. And our sins are still forgiven, but the penance helps to heal the wound that was caused because of our sin. And that really helped Zacchaeus, I think, to heal and to become more generous. He went from being avaricious and greedy to being extremely generous. I just love that story about Zacchaeus. And you know what? There's another one that we can look at. It's called the parable of the 10 pounds. And that comes right after the account of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Here's what it says. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately, he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive kingly power and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade with these until I come. And again, this pound is a unit of money. But his citizens hated him and sent an embassy after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingly power, he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your pound has made 10 pounds more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your pound, which I kept laid away in a napkin, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you out of your own mouth, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking up what I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank, and at my coming I should have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the pound from him and give it to him who has the 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Oof, wow. So much for meek and gentle Jesus. Well, of course, he is meek and gentle to the sinner. But, and one can't help but notice the parallels with the parable of the talents here. But this has a bit of a different flavor to it, doesn't it? We can't forget that when Jesus does come again, he's coming to collect. He's coming to collect. And that's true on a couple of different levels. He's going to collect us as children and take him home to be with him forever in the Father's house. But he's also coming to collect the debt, the sin debt. You see, we have two choices. We can either accept the fact that Jesus paid our debt, or you could choose to pay it yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm going to take the first option. I'm going to ask him for forgiveness, even for these times we failed to be good stewards over the goods that he's given to us, but and say, Lord, we don't want to be like those guys in the parable. We don't want to be like the citizens of that town. We want you to reign over us. We want you to really be the Lord of all of our time, all of our talent, and all of our treasure. I'm Cale Clark. You've been listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio mobile app. We'll be back tomorrow with much more. We're going to talk tomorrow about the spirituality of stewardship. Yeah, we know what the Bible has to say about it. But how can we spiritually live this out from day to day and really transform what we do and lay up this great foundation for us in the afterlife? You won't want to miss that. So you can share the good news about this show by going to the Relevant Radio app or relevantradio.com. Find the show, share the podcast with a friend. You can download it, you can share it, you can stream it. You can also email the show, Faith, F-A-I-T-H, at relevantradio.com. Give us your show ideas, give us your questions, stuff you'd like us to talk about. We've already received some great suggestions from some of our listeners. We want to hear from you. So until next time, I'm Cale Clark. Catch you in the next one. Peace.